hello and welcome to this week's look at action and stunts on film and television. Mention the name John Wayne, and many will say cowboy. That's very important. Born as Marion Morrison, he became the American that many the world over strived to be. After his death, actress Maureen O'Hara pleaded with a committee who were responsible for providing memorials to have this simply say, John Wayne, American. She said that throughout his career, people in other parts of the world would see him on screen and associate him with America. They may not have lived in the country, but they know that to them, he is the American they might like to be. As a young star, under the director Raoul Walsh, he was cast as the handsome lead. This never changed throughout his career, but the action became more and more intense. Therefore, he had to be doubled. In the 1930s, Wayne met Yakima Canutt, who would change his life and the life of many who worked with him. The two struck up a friendship, and directors like John Ford realized that Canutt was a perfect double for the big fella.
Well, here's my word. Get the hell off my spread. Now.
Nobody. And nobody run in here either, huh?
Chance?
I'm not gonna hurt him. Get up.
Get down off them horses. I don't favor looking up to the likes of you.
I'll count three. And if you're not out of the house by then, I'll loose the dogs on you.
If you say three, mister, you'll never hear the man count ten.
No hard feelings.
Everyone will know that Yakima Canutt was responsible for giving John Ford one of the greatest moments in cinema during Stagecoach, being shot by John Wayne instead of doubling him. But they were a formidable partnership. When fights broke out back in those days, they often lasted for minutes. A fist fight in a film was a high point and should be as entertaining as possible. But back in the mid-30s, they still weren't entirely certain on how to stage the fight. These fights were often filmed from a locked-off camera position, and the camera would pan from left to right and back again. Also, the punches would actually land. The punch would be thrown, and the partially clenched fist is landed on the chest of the opponent. It wasn't until many years later that camera positioning became key to how successful a punch is. The John Wayne punch, as we now understand it, was a creation from several elements. Firstly, balance. In order to throw a good punch, you must be able to balance yourself correctly. So when you bring forward your left or right fist in order to hit the chin of your opponent, your feet must be at the right distance apart and planted on the floor, allowing the punch to flow through the hips and the energy to dissipate up the arm and into the fist. I know it sounds like nonsense, but try it when you're on your own, maybe. The punch must flow through you in order to hit the target convincingly. Once again, Admiral John Ford was convinced that Duke had a punch quite literally worth its weight in gold.
Are you a Bond fan? I mean, really a Bond fan.
If you enjoy dreaming of what 1991 and 1993 Tim Dalton films would have looked like,
or if you have a degree in octopussy but still don't know which Fabergé egg is a fake,
then the Really 007 podcast is for you.
Really 007.
We bring an insightful,
critical
and silly take on the James Bond films.
We are proudly part of the Pod Dojo network and are available for free on iTunes and Spotify.
We have regular, in-depth reviews of every Bond film,
as well as special episodes on different aspects of the series.
And some of us are a bit down on the Craig era, Robert.
While others are happy to pretend to dislike things just to get cheap laughs.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and join in on the James Bond conversation online.
Really, 007.
Other directors began to follow suit, but the camera in the right place and shoot it correctly and that punch will land every time. Now, move on a number of years, and change of stunt double is required. Chuck Roberson was an ex-police officer working the Culver City beat when he met stuntman Guy Teague, who told him about stuntmen required at Republic Pictures. He was built like John Wayne and presented with the same Hondo outfit. He looked very much like him too. This allows a director so much more leeway. This allows them to use an old-fashioned in-camera shot technique like the two-man switch. Chuck falls in frame, through frame, and out of shot, and John Wayne pops up and carries on, convincing the audience that he'd done it all himself. The fights in Donovan's Reef, Big Jake, Chisholm, and the Cowboys are enhanced because of the involvement of Chuck Roberson. When Roberson was on set and doubling Duke, it was always a special occasion. It was also an opportunity for the editor to focus a bit more on Duke's fight in the foreground and distract the audience from the unconvincing haymakers being thrown miles away from the opponent and seeing them react as though they'd been shot at point-blank range. It's safe to say that fights have come on leaps and bounds since the days of the Western punch-up, but as with everything in life, without them, we wouldn't be where we are today. The John Wick fights, which are renowned for being unbelievably realistic and done for real thanks to Keanu's most recent stunt double, Vincent Bouillon, who is rightly being applauded internationally for his work on these films. The John Wayne fight, and that punch, is delivered with energy and science, making it convincing, and adding a ludicrous punch sound effect on top makes it so worthwhile. Well, that's it for now. Join me on Friday for a bit more of a deep dive into some of these fabulous fights. And don't forget to check out the Pod Dojo Network, who are responsible for the podcast. Subscribe. The details are down below. Go and visit the YouTube page and subscribe to that as well. And I'll see you over there on Friday. Until then, it's bye for now.